Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Fitness Bootcamp Inner Circle Podcast with Georgette Pan and Jesse Stoddard. And we're going to talk about the fitness industry wave of the future. Hey, everybody. So I'm really excited today. This is Jesse Stoddard. I am just coming off of a plane back from Texas, where I explored an awesome opportunity with the nutrition company that I'm also working with. And, you know, when I was on the plane and while I was out there, I had some great conversations with a variety of different trainers. So I'm looking forward to talking about that a little bit today. But first, let me make sure we've got Georgette on the line. Hey, Georgette, are you there?
Yeah.
All right. Hey.
Little trouble getting
on. Sorry about the technical difficulties there getting this going. We're, you know, we march forward, right?
That's right.
All right. Well, hope you had a great weekend, by the way. And we are getting this started. And I just did a quick intro, Georgette, letting everybody know that I just got back from Texas and had a lot of great conversations with different trainers on my trip, and I wanted to share a little bit about that. But also, I think what we were going to talk about is we're going to keep, you know, talking about marketing and kind of continuing where we left off.
Okay. Fine with
me. Right on. So, okay. So what I wanted to tell was a quick story, and I thought this would be a cool way to start this episode and kind of backtrack a little bit. And I wanted to talk about sort of maybe it might be the obvious for some of the people listening, but I think it might not be as obvious as it should be, and that is why do a fitness boot camp and just why even this business model to begin with. And
right.
The reason why it came to me is I talked to one young gentleman who had listened to the show, and he's, you know, from another area in the country, and bumped into me and said, "Hey, listen to the podcast, really loved it." And so I, you know, just kind of asking him a little bit about what he's doing and what he's interested in. And he's kind of new to the game and hadn't even really, you know, hadn't gotten started yet.
Okay.
And I think what I found out was, you know, there's a lot of new trainers or trainers that have been, you know, kind of maybe even trying this kind of stuff for a little while without a lot of success.
Right.
Maybe they have, you know, they started one and they didn't get anywhere yet, you know, or they tried it out and they haven't been able to grow. Or they're, you know, maybe their dream is, you know, they never thought about doing a fitness boot camp or a group training business model. They just thought, hey, someday I want to own my own gym. You know, that's kind of the dream for every trainer. And I was talking to another friend who he does independent personal training. He simply rents spaces in gyms, for small gyms where the owners are, you know, flexible to that. And I asked him, you know, what he thinks about, you know, owning a gym. And he said, well, when I started out, that was my entire goal, was to own my own gym. And, you know, he's thinking a big place, probably some great big giant, you know, 10,000 square foot place. I think that's a dream for a lot of trainers. And now he said, this is the dumbest thing you could ever do. You know, now I'm not saying I agree with him. You know, I'm not saying that if your dream is to own a gym or if you currently own a gym, I'm not telling you you're doing anything wrong. But I just was simply surveying my audience and finding out, well, why do people think a certain way? And, you know, and so, you know, what he was, and then Georgette, I want to find out, you know, a little bit more about your past and why you got started with owning your own studio. And, you know, he was saying that the owner there, you know, would rent space to the trainers. So he decided to go that model where he doesn't have employees, but he'll rent the space and the trainers pay a rent and then they can keep whatever they make. And he said, well, that's really good for the trainer, but he'd hate to be the owner. Because the owner gets a few bucks for the rent, but then, you know, they keep adding more clients and that's making the trainers more, but it's not making the gym owner anymore. And I thought, that's interesting. That's the opposite of what I usually hear. Usually trainers gripe and complain that the club makes all the money and they don't make any money, you know, and it's so interesting, those different models and business models. And he he eventually said that, you know, they were adding group training. But it was only with a couple of trainers that was kind of working with the owner semi, you know, quietly or secretly, like, hey, guys, you're my up-and-coming guys. You'll eventually, you know, this is eventually going to be our place, you know, meaning the owner and this couple trainers. And all the other trainers there are, you know, they're not on the inside scoop. And right. We're going to do group training here. And you guys, the other trainers are doing one-on-one, and they'll probably eventually leave. And the reasoning there was, you know, you got a big crowd of people coming in at the same time as some other trainers doing the old-fashioned one-on-one, and there's no room, and they're obnoxious, and, you know, those trainers will leave, and pretty soon will be group. Well, my buddy said that the problem was that those guys were still paying rent, a flat rate, and then the owner was just, you know, they're getting more and more people in there, and the owner was actually making less money because of that business model where he's charging rent. There's fewer trainers charging rent or paying him rent, and more clients coming in paying less money per class to the trainer. So those maybe one or two of the trainers that were doing group training are making a killing, and all the other trainers are leaving, and the gym owner's not making any money. So what it struck me as was there's so many ways of looking at this, and people get into fitness, they don't have a clue about business, and then they pick a business model they don't even know why by default. And then they're doing it, and then they have to go, wait a minute, did I pick the right – I didn't even pick the right path. It's that old saying, the ladder, they're climbing the ladder of life, or it could be like the corporate ladder. But they're climbing the ladder, and the ladders – they get to the top only to realize that the ladder was up against the wrong wall. And just a really interesting – so, Georgette, what are your thoughts on that? And when you got started going way back, you know, to the studio – part of your business. How did that happen? Why do you do it? And why do it the way you do it?
Well, when I got started, don't forget, there was no group training model. So we're, you know, maybe in the dinosaur age, but it was, you know, you know, seriously, there was no boot camps really in this area, and there was no studios. Remember, I mentioned that in an earlier podcast. But I didn't really like the gym. You know, I didn't like the owning of the gym, per se, for me. I found that most gyms in my area were actually operating in the red, so wasn't exactly pulling me to do so. You know, I mean, if I knew I was going to operate in the red ahead of time, there'd be no reason to go and start that business. It had no pull for me. I belonged to a lot of gyms in this, you know, in this area. So my line of thinking was this new thing that was new at the time, this personal training studio. So I really thought between that and the boot camp being the group training, that was something that pulled me, per se. Get off speaker. Okay. I thought that was something that would, you know, be more pulling, not only for the trainer. I thought that would be pulling for the client. I don't know if we're having an echo. I am.
No, you sound fine. And okay. Now, just to clarify, you mean you were using it as a meaning like a new
innovative.
It was almost marketing just in and of itself. It was cool, so people would be attracted to it.
Yeah, it was cool. It was new. It was first. It was innovative. All of those things plays a big role, you know. So it played a big role. Now there's studios and, you know, everywhere in the world. I mean, some places are even – you know, saturated with boot camps. But the group training model also came into effect. But, you know, back to the gyms, they weren't even interested, which I brought to the attention of the Gold's Gym in my area, who is no longer here, to run boot camps for them. Oh, sounds great. And then, you know, and then don't do anything about it. Shuffle, procrastinate, and never took it off the ground, which we were willing to do for them. Well, explain it to me. I explained it. I re-explained it. I did the best I could explaining it, and it sounded all nice to them. Now, had I been a gym owner, or even now, I definitely would not be doing this for, like, a group training class. Not group training like we're talking. I'm talking about the aerobics classes, the step classes, the blah, blah, blah classes. I wouldn't run it like that. It would have to be separate. it would have to be an additional charge, and it would have to be a 50-50 split between me and the gym owner. It's not, even with group training, I think what you were talking about earlier, the reason being that failed is because when the gym was making actually less money on group training that you mentioned, is because that should have been done differently too. That should have been a 50-50 split between the trainer running that type of program. You know, as an example, 50-50. You could do 60-40, you could do whatever. But the point is, more clients were coming in, gym owner was making less, trainer was making more. Well, you need to be fair on both sides. So that really, you know, really to me, it would have been something to set up as a, if this trainer is going to be running a certain class or program that's new and different, and he's the only one doing it, it's a 50-50 split between you and I, you and the trainer, owner and trainer. And same thing with boot camps, I would not, they're definitely not something you throw in where, you know, with the aerobics classes, not if you want to make them make money on them, and not if you want to make them anything special and, you know, and stand out. They have to be a separate charge for members. I know it's not included with your membership. If you want to do boot camp, it's X amount. And that's how the most successful ones do run them. So I think that got kind of convoluted in the beginning, too, because people were like, well, hey, if I could do a step-type boot camp class that comes with my membership at the gym, what's the point of joining a boot camp? You know?
Right.
And that's kind of where things started to change then. People were like, whoa, wait a minute. If I'm going to run boot camps, I got to start running them as a separate program with separate marketing, with separate, you know, these are the benefits. Because if not, you could just take the step class or the aerobics class or whatever class or that's being offered as part of your membership.
So this is really good because it ties into marketing too, doesn't it? Because so my questions are, you know, why boot camps in the beginning, and it's kind of leading into how to do it so that it's special, and that's kind of, it kind of ties in with marketing, doesn't it? It's different.
Yeah.
So all of these people that, these places where they are including it, kind of like a aerobics class or just another, you know, class offered at the YMCA thing, they're watering it down, I guess, huh?
Yeah, they're watering it down, and they're really not even doing it justice, or themselves justice, because, you know, it's really not. Not to say, take anything against, you know, group aerobics classes or anything like that. A lot of people like them and enjoy them, but that's not what we're offering. So don't, you know, this is like large group part personal training, in other words, instead of small group personal training. Don't convolute it. It's not, you know, it's not your body blast group class or your aerobics class or your dance class. It isn't that. So don't, you know, don't group it in with what it isn't, is all I'm trying to say. If you're going to be running this fitness camp, then it's a fitness camp. It's separate. Yeah.
So how did you in the beginning, do that? Your personal situation, how did you overcome that, those kind of perceptions, or, you know, how did you keep it special and different?
Well, I wasn't in a gym, but you know what I mean? I didn't have any options like that. It was just one-on-one personal training or boot camp or fitness camp, whatever you want to call it. So there wasn't any other classes to take. I mean, now there are. I mean, there's yoga and Tai Chi in my studio, but again, they're totally different. There was no group aerobics class or anything that would have been, that I offered that, you know, could have been mistaken for a boot camp or group training. It was just a totally different model. Now, So I wasn't in a gym, so I didn't have the issue, is basically the bottom line. I didn't have the issue. I was in a studio, so I'm not quite sure if that answered the question, but I'm not quite sure if that's what you were driving at.
Yeah, you know, that it and getting back to why boot camps, because it does answer part of the question. we're talking about why somebody would do a boot camp, answers right there is it's special, it's different, and you know, it can be outside of that normal environment like a gym environment, and it makes it different. So that's one reason. Now
so
going back to when you started it too, what was your was it there's a financial motivation, right? I mean, what made it different? Your new group training model, was it primarily to make more money than you would on the private personal training?
Well, it's in there. Yeah, of course it's in there. We're in a business. I mean, was it the complete motivating thing? No, actually it really wasn't, which sounds funny. But I just wanted to run boot camps. I really wanted to run boot camps. So that was my primary motivator. It was like, why do you want to do it? I wasn't thinking like, ooh, this is going to kill it. I didn't know if it was going to kill it because it was so brand new, you know, it was slow getting off the ground because of that. I mean, you know, nobody really knew what they were. Nobody heard of them. But, again, it does have the element of making more per hour than you would as a one-on-one trainer. Of course it does, because you're training more people, or at least that's your objective, to price it, your boot camps, in such a way that you're making more than you would make for a one-on-one hour session. That's what I think of when I start to talk about pricing the boot camp. So if you're pricing it at if you're worth $100 an hour, then you have to figure out how many people, the least amount of people you would need in your boot camp. We're on a different subject now, but just let me finish it. How many people would you need to be profitable in your boot camp? So that's a different subject, but we could pop back to that if we want to. But where was I? We were talking about it's more profitable it's also more affordable for, you know, the clientele or the clients, because if they can't afford one-on-one training, then they still can afford a personal trainer, which was the original concept behind boot camps way back, that they can afford a personal trainer because they're getting it in a group setting. So it was an affordable option for them as well. So the win-win, everybody talks about that win-win situation. Well, that's, you know, kind of was the history of boot camp in a way, is that that's why it was a good business model, because everybody won. The trainer won because they have to leverage their time. There's only so much hours in a day. You can't do 20 one-hour sessions unless you want to work 20 hours, or vice versa. You know what I'm getting at. There's only so many hours.
Yeah.
And so they were leveraging their time. They were making, you know, more per hour, and the clients were able to afford it, and we're enjoying it, and we're getting results. Win, win, win. So that was the whole concept behind boot camp models when they first came out. It still should be.
Well, and you sound like you also, your primary objective was just to do it because it was cool and because it was fun. I mean, they're fun too, right?
Well, yeah, and it was new, and it was innovative, and it was, you know, groundbreaking at the time here, you know. Here, it was something that took years before there was a boot camp in this area, a successful one at that. I don't even know if there are any, but there might be. But, you know, and it also was, I had other ways, you know, other things in mind, too. I mean, I wanted the studio, and I wanted to do one-on-one. You know what I mean? I wanted to do both. But that's me. You know, some people might just want to do boot camps.
And, this is kind of leading us to a cool, you know, back into the marketing side of a little bit. You talked about why, in general, that you wanted to do them and why someone would do them. And something very interesting came out of that. You know, for instance, you can see how easy it would be to ruin that whole objective. Okay, your objective is to have the group training so that it's more fun, it's better for the client, it's a win-win. You know, trainer makes more money, client doesn't have to pay as much. You know, there's more motivation and accountability and excitement when people are working in a group setting rather than individual and all that.
Right, and that's
but you brought
proven.
Up a good point.
Right, that's
yeah,
been
yeah.
proven. Right.
So, yes, yeah. and you brought up a good point, though, that, well, okay, someone could ruin that. Somebody could say, well, if that works and people are paying, you know, $10, $15, $20, $30, $40 even per session, but it's
right.
less than the normal $50, $60, $70, $80 a session, then the client wins. Well, why don't we just make it $2 a session? And then all of a sudden you're doing what the gyms do, and you're not really, there's no way you can even perform to the level that you should in as a personal trainer if in the end of the day you made $8 an hour. You know, you get
price your boot camp. I mean, really, seriously, you, that's like any other business. You have to sell things, you know, above what you paid for them to make a profit if you own a store. You have to, you know, you have to be profitable. Okay, somebody might argue, and this, they could be right. I have no clients, and four people want to do boot camp. Okay, well, then do boot camp, because four people, referrals and word of mouth, might become eight clients. I'm not saying there's never a time and a place where you should do a boot camp with less than eight people or less than six people. There's a time. What if you're just starting, right, and there's no Groupon and there's no daily deals, or you tried that and you got, well, let's take that out of the equation. Let's just say, you know, there is a time and a place for it. If you don't have any clients and five people are interested in doing boot camp and you say, oh, no, I have to have seven to be profitable. Well, to be profitable, more profitable than what? Zero? If you have zero. So, I mean, there is a time and a place. You know, if that's your first boot camp and you have six people and you're saying, well, I might not be, you know, just get started, in other words. And that's maybe the time and the place to do that. But your goal is to be, you know, if you're $60 an hour and you're charging $10 a class, well, for easy math, you need at least seven, you know, six will break even, seven, you know what I mean, to be a profitable boot camp. Otherwise, you're doing three classes a week and making, you know, $40 a class. I don't know. But that's a lot of work. So you got to, you know, think about that. Like I said, there's a time. If it's your first thing, you just step down to the face of the earth and you have no clients, I get it. Just get started. But after that, you can't be giving away your time and your effort and your planning and your, you know, the whole, you know, the whole nine yards. You have to price them smart. Like, you know, make at least more than you would make per hour if you were doing an hour session. That's a good place to start, I think. I think that's a pretty good way to approach it. When somebody says, how do I price my boot camps? I think, you know, work the numbers backwards. If I make $60 an hour, then I'm going to work it backwards. I'm going to say, how many people do I need in this boot camp to make it profitable three times a week? It's probably going to end
right,
up being seven or eight people. Seven or eight people when you do the math, you know, to make a profit. But based on your hourly rate. You know what I mean? That's a good way to do it, because some people don't know how to start it. They just wing it. Their first boot camp, it's $260 a month. Your first boot camp is $260. I mean, it depends on where you live. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know if that's quite, you know, the way to come in. It's like a trainer with nobody knows about saying, I'm $150 an hour, take it or leave it. Well, they're going to leave it because they don't even know you. I mean, like, seriously, I mean, it's like you have to think about that, too. You know, nobody's paying $150 an hour in my area. Nobody's even coming close. In fact, we're getting away from the hour sessions, which is a different subject, too. And you could even do half-hour boot camps. I mean, nobody said they had to be 60 minutes.
Right, yeah.
You know?
That's a great, you know, these are all related to what makes a boot camp different. I think a lot of the, you know, and special, and that's related
right.
to, that's your product. I mean, a lot of trainers make the mistake of overselling what it is or underselling it. Like you said, they might be charging too
right.
much. They could also be charging too little. You
right.
can say, well, what's based on your hourly rate? And, well, I have to go lower than anybody else in my market because otherwise I won't get anybody. I think there's a danger of that, too.
A big danger everywhere. Yeah, there was a big danger of that. People started to do that, you know. But hopefully I think we're climbing out of that. I mean, there might still be some of that price wars. You know, nobody wins in a price war. It's a race to the bottom. So, I mean, there's nobody going to win. I mean, like, pretty soon you'll be doing it for free. I mean, you know, that's a race to the bottom. Nobody's winning. And then who cares? If as a trainer, if you're doing something consistently for free, you don't even have to, it's subconsciously, your attitude will be, who cares? Who cares? What do you want for a free boot camp? Good programming? For instance? No. I mean, like, really, it's not that even thinking that way. You're like, you don't think, like, oh, I'm going to go in and give a crappy workout because who cares? It's free. You don't think that. But eventually that creeps into subconsciously because, hey, you're working for nothing. You're not going to go putting all this effort into things and making, writing out your workouts for a week in advance, trying to put in boot camp games. Why would you put all that into it if you're doing it for free? You go in and you give a half-assed body weight boot camp workout. Nothing like wrong with body weight. I love that. I shouldn't have said that. Just give, go in there and wing it for 25 minutes and then cool down and leave. I mean, so, you can't, eventually that's a race to the bottom when you start lowering. You'll find out. You'll be out of business. I mean, you don't have to believe me. You could just go out of business and then go, oh, she was right.
this call so far is really interesting because we started talking about one thing, and it seems like we're going into another area, but I know it's all really closely related. And I just want to remind us and everybody listening that, if you're catching what Georgette's saying here, and maybe especially if you're new, or even if you've been around a while and you're kind of looking to get refocused, when people talk about how to be successful with this kind of thing, and the first thing they say is, well, I need to know how to market. I need to, give me more marketing. It all begins with the product that you're trying to promote. That is a part of your marketing. Your pricing is a part of your marketing. It's huge. What makes you different? And that's my next question. I think we should talk about that for a minute because it's this pricing thing relates to it. And maybe, Georgette, you can give an example. Since you started when it was brand new, innovative, no one had seen it. You've got the studio, you're adding boot camps, and you're thinking about your pricing. How else did you keep it, unique? So in the beginning, it was new just because no one had done it. But now, here we are, 2014 currently. I'm dating the podcast here, but and this where we're at right now, it's not as unique or unheard of. People have heard about it. So what do you do to make the product itself different other than the pricing? With the pricing, is your pricing the same as when you started? Did you go up? Did you go down? How did all that pan out between when you started and now?
Well, when I started, we were just offering monthly boot camps with a week off in between, which quickly changed to just monthly boot camps because no week off. But that also changed to 3 month, 6 month, and even a year, should you be so inclined. But I find that the 3 month, and I mean ongoing, I don't mean just 3 month and you have to resell. So we're talking about they're buying 3 month packages and they get recharged until they say, no, I don't want any more. Or 6 month or whatever. And we're giving them sometimes bundle deals. It depends if it's a... But anyway, that's the way it evolved. It's no longer a month option unless they're in from out of town and somebody only has a month. I mean, what are you going to do? Say, no, I'm sorry, we only... So in that case, yeah. There's drop-in sessions if there's somebody from out of town or somebody who's, just wants to... try one or two classes, or they know they can't do the whole thing. But that's special circumstances. So mostly it's, you know, the three-month package seems to be by far my most popular. Does that mean everybody in the world should run a three-month? I doubt it. You know, everybody has different, you know, clientele. Find out what's selling for you. If it's 6 months, then, hey, better for all of us, better for you, you know. But that's the way it evolved. The 3 and the 6 months seem to be the most. And then you were saying about how to make it different, right?
Yeah.
So that was one of the things we did, you know, sometimes include a meal plan or something else in there. But after a while, too, I mean, let's talk about equipment in a sense and workouts. What happened was we started with, you know, the basic minimal equipment, jump ropes, bands, I mean, you know, cheap bands, medicine balls, which were not so cheap, but they were on sale. So, I mean, things like that. We started with that. And body weight exercises, obviously. So, you know, those were the things that I think we might have even had Swiss balls. But, you know, don't forget we had a studio too, okay? But start with the minimal kind of equipment. Now, time evolved. We got a little more and a little more and a little more. Things start coming out. TRX, suspension trainers, Liebert equalizers, sleds, you know, different, you know, little pieces of equipment that people had A, never seen before, B, never used before, you know, and were intrigued and don't think that they weren't, because they were like, whoa, what's that? I can't wait to use that. You know, and it was a TRX hanging, you know, but we have some new equipment. Nobody else around here, you know, kind of had that at the time. Again, that doesn't mean it's not going to keep your people, retain, and, you know, refer. It still could. Just because a lot of people have TRXs now or suspension trainers doesn't mean it isn't a good idea. It's definitely a good idea to start bringing in, as you grow, to start bringing in some different types of equipment and programming. You know, we had a Vortex. I'm not saying everybody should go spend $11,000 and buy a Vortex. We happened to have it in the studio. Well, sometimes stations involved different pieces of equipment when we were running stations. And then kettlebells. And then, you know, different things came in to play. That keeps it fresh. That keeps them excited. That keeps them coming back. And really, they're in there and for the purpose of working out. And if you bring in something new and innovative, that's exciting. It's not just exciting to us. It really was exciting to them. I mean, I'm talking from experience. You know, they all wanted to do the TRX, and they all wanted to do bands, and they all wanted to do this and that. So, yeah, it did help, but you don't have to start like that. I don't want to scare somebody into thinking I have to get all this equipment. You don't, but I'm just saying that's an idea to make it new, exciting, fresh, innovative, and challenging.
I think it keeps you excited too, right? I mean,
no,
you get new equipment.
It certainly does, but you know, if the client wasn't excited and I was the only one excited, that's not good enough. You know what I mean? Not for a business. You know what I'm saying? Not for a business. I mean, it's nice to be excited. It keeps the trainer. Yes, it does help because the trainer is now, you know, this is cool. I can't wait to use this. And, you know, keeps them motivated. But, you know, primarily we're doing it to get results and motivate the client to, you know, to say, wow, you should see the stuff they have over there. You would never, you know, you don't walk into every place in my area and see a tire and a sledgehammer. You don't.
Right.
But I have a tire, a sledgehammer, a TRX, you know, our suspension trainers. I have Sirius straps, which are the same thing, only cheaper. I have the little sled that just came out that I just actually put that stuff on the blog because I was actually given that to review. let me tell you something. That thing is fantastic. It's a little sled. Could be run on anything. It's a really great. I have a prowler. I'm not saying I don't. But the point is, this thing is really cool. And I thought, let me try this. Well, everybody loves it. Trainers love it. It's easier to use. Clients love it. It's easier to use. And it could be used as an anchor, which means you could just tie bands or, you know, ropes. And that's another thing we do have is the ropes, you know, to this thing. This little thing is fantastic. It's a little sled. But they also made a suspension trainer, which was cheaper and yet different than TRX. It had 180-degree rotating handles. So, I mean, if you look around, which is like what I try to do anyway for my newsletters, is look around, get different types of equipment that are more affordable and better. No, we'll have to beat that, right? Better and more affordable. Okay. So, you know, like there's different things you could put in. In workouts, there's no shortage of them, you know, online or on the blog. And keep things fresh with boot camp games, with finishers, with challenges. You know, right there, that's enough.
When I started, I remember, you know, not having, like you said, real minimal equipment.
Right.
And I think it's a really it's a huge advantage when somebody's starting out, because what it forced me to do was it forced me to actually learn and master one thing. So
right.
you get if you don't have a lot of options, you have to
right.
get good at something, and it's right. usually bodyweight training.
Bodyweight training.
So I would get really good. Yeah, I got really good at body weight training workouts. I mean, because there was no other option.
Right.
And
right.
if you do you quickly find out. It sounds easy when you start. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll put a couple exercises together. But try doing it day after day, month after month. I mean, people are going to, if all you do is one, you know, I do push-ups and squats and burpees, you know, people are going to get
right.
real tired of your workout really fast. So you get
right.
good at it because you have
you
to
do.
Come up with something entertaining and fun.
Yeah, because let me interject. When I was first doing outside boot camps, and I was dragging 6 medicine balls for 100 yards. I mean, like, think about it. I was sore before I even started the class. You know, so part of the class was everybody take a piece of equipment and walk to the park across the street. Like, we also started getting them involved. But, you know, even if it was only 6 medicine balls you were taking, well, after a while, you have a 12-pounder, you have a 10-pounder, you have an 8-pounder, and going the whole length of a football field, you know, longer, actually. I mean, you have to think, you know, what am I going to do today, and where am I going to do it, and then act accordingly. So, again, now a lot more body weight exercises, a lot more using of park benches, a lot more uses of fences, a lot more use, you know, a lot more use of the track, a lot more use of different things that were outdoors. Indoors is completely easier, to tell you the truth. It's easier, but, you know, a lot of people enjoy outdoor workouts. So, you know, we kind of sometimes do both. I mean, we do half in and go outside for the last half, just for enjoyment, just because the clients want to, basically, not because, oh, it's a great idea to go for a walk. But, no, it's not that. But once in a while, we have to throw in something that the clients really are asking for. I mean, really, is that going to hurt the program? No. You know, it's a beautiful day. Yeah, take them outside. It doesn't matter if you're near a park or not. I mean, once in a while, people like to go on a couple mile walk, or you know what I mean. I'm not saying you do this all the time. Same thing with game day. Even a game day, people, you know, somebody was promoting that. Dexter, one of a friend of mine, he had a program that he was selling. I thought it was a great idea. Once in a while, once a month, once a week, I don't know, whatever you want to do. If you think once a week is too much, don't do it. But once in a while, have a fun day or a game day. It doesn't have to be every day is a game day. And besides, when you're saying boot camp games, you're really not talking about, you know, some kind of board game. You're not even really talking about a game. you're really talking about a specific set of exercises that are fun, like in finishers, per se. Well, the boot camp game product is really just kind of disguised, exercises in disguise. You know, you're making fun, and you know you're tagging people, but you know you're doing a plank, and you're doing a push up, you're doing a bear crawl, you're doing all kinds of exercises within these games as a finisher, in a finisher style. But you know, so the game title might be a little misleading, in a sense. So people think it's all you're just going to play a game that day. No, really.
Show up to boot camp. We're going to play Scrabble, you know. Yeah.
Right. Or even just have a game day all the time. No, those games are really body weight finishers in disguise with some, you know, fun things added to them to make it a competitive thing. So the product actually was pretty good. You know, that came out. I'll put links to some of these things in there because it's a different way of programming. And sometimes you have to actually read the sales pages or look at the product before you make a judgment. You know, and some people go, oh, games, I'm sick of, you know, another game product or partner games or, you know, a lot of times that's a good idea too, is to have them team up and do partner things. You know, there's a lot of ways to make things fresh and innovative. I don't find a shortage of that. If, you know, somebody needs resources on that, we could give them that. But,
yeah,
there's plenty.
You know, looking back, Georgette, let's get back to the why boot camps for a minute. You know,
mm-hmm.
we probably talked about enough subjects where we could do 17 podcasts on each one of these. And
right.
just to kind of bring it back for a minute, you know, looking back, you're
right.
looking at your studio and how the boot camp evolved.
Right.
And I can see why you would start boot camps. We talked about that and in the beginning. But why do them now? Why keep doing them? What about them is appealing? I think you've kind of hinted at all these different options that are cool. But, you know, for you, why do you keep doing them? And do you want to do more, less? You still think they're a good addition to personal one-on-one training, you know, for you and your business?
It's definitely proven itself that it's not a fad. A fad would have been gone in the year 2000. It's definitely not a fad. I mean, people get hung up on the name and the this and the that. Really, stop getting hung up on ridiculous things. Stop sweating the small stuff, as they say. Call it a fitness camp if the boot camp bothers you. But it was, you know, goes way back to the military time. It's not a military boot camp. If you're running that style, that's great too. But it still pays to do them. I mean, just as much as it probably pays to do one-on-one. I mean, we're talking about training clients. So it's just a different way to train clients. Is it, you know, it has its benefits, obviously, and they're still there. It gets clients results. It keeps them coming back. It's fun. There's accountability. You know, it works. It's less expensive. We can list all the things that, you know, make it still a viable business model. Just as one-on-one. People say, oh, one-on-one is dead. No, one-on-one isn't dead. People like to train one-on-one still. When I'm training for a bodybuilding show, I didn't want a boot camp. If I'm training for some kind of event, I don't want a boot camp, and maybe I don't even like groups. Maybe I'm introverted, you know, and I don't want a group. Nothing is dead. So let's get that clear. Boot camps aren't dead. One-on-one isn't dead. Nothing's dead. You know, it's another
marketing. Maybe it's just the trainer's attitude that's dead sometimes.
Yeah, well, I think it's a marketing thing. You know, it's a marketing thing. People want to promote something else. You know, group training is you know, the hot thing now. This is small group training. Well, yeah, it is. So put that in. I don't see why you have to be one thing. It depends on what you own, though. I mean, if you own a franchise, then you have to do it the franchisee franchisor, rather, you know, states you can do or not do. If you own a franchise, then, and they say, hey, listen, we're one-on-one studios, and you can offer group. I actually was told that a long time ago when I looked at a studio franchise. I said, no, I'm not interested. First of all, you're too expensive. Second of all, I want to run a boot camp. Well, years down the road, they did allow you to do boot camps, you know, and it was ahead of my time. But they allowed you to do it, and they ran it through the studio franchise. But, you know, if you want to, you know, just be one thing and make yourself, you know, the best at the one thing, you know, that's what a franchise. But they even noticed that not such a hot idea. You know, we need to start bringing our, you know, letting them run boot camps. It makes sense. And that was a studio franchise.
I got a question for you. This just came to my mind. You know, we're talking about why boot camps, why do them. I think you pretty much answered that in many different ways. What about why not? Like, for example, is there a trainer that really shouldn't be doing a boot camp? Or is there if you're looking for a fitness business opportunity, when would you not want to do a boot camp? Or what kind of trainer wouldn't want to buy one?
Right. Well, that's kind of a hard, I mean, I don't know if that's a hard question, but it's hard to answer. It's a great question. I don't know if you don't have the passion for it, just like anything, and you're just in it for the money, probably going to fizzle at one point. You are, or it is. I don't know. That's an educated guess. You could, you know, really not have a passion for it, and it would work. And I would be wrong. But odds against it. So, you know, if you're just doing, it depends on what your motivator is. If you think, I'm going to run a boot camp because I'm going to make a killing, well, that might not be enough. We might, you know, we might want to, you know, throw in the fact that we might want to help clients or, you know, make it affordable. Because it's going to affect, you know, your whole attitude all the way down the line. It's going to affect your marketing. It's going to affect your, you know, your programming. It's going to just trickle. You know, so if you don't really like boot camps, don't teach them. It would be like me teaching an aerobic step class. Ridiculous. I couldn't do it. I don't want to, and I hate it. Okay, so so therefore, I don't care how profitable I don't care how profitable the step class is. You'd never catch me teaching one. Example two. You would never catch me teaching a Zumba class. First of all, I only dance in my living room, right? Second of all, no, that's not true. First of all, that's not something I'm cut out to do. I don't, you know, I like it. I might enjoy it. I've taken a few classes. I've tried it offering at my studio. Whatever. We developed our own, actually, our own dance, because my business partner was into it. I'm not into it, okay? So I would never say, hey, I'm going to open up a Zumba studio. I don't have the passion for it. I don't even like it. So therefore, if you don't like boot camps, don't obviously run them. So that would be number one. If you don't have a passion and a desire, don't do it. I'm not going to be a Zumba teacher anytime soon. So, you know, if you have to have the desire, the like, and the passion for it, if you say, well, I kind of want to. Some trainers have come to me with this. I really want to. I'm afraid, and I'm nervous, and I'm scared. Well, that's a different story. You know, that everybody's nervous and scared in the beginning. I've never run one before. I'm a little nervous. I'm scared. That's not the same as hating it, right? If you follow my point, everybody's nervous and scared. Everybody. That's why there's boot camp kits. That's why there's here's to get you started. You know, here's some workouts, here's the forms, here's some ideas, here's how to get started. That's why there's that. There's coaching groups, there's this, that. That's fine. But if you hate it, don't do it. You know, I mean, if there's no passion there. So, you know, I get the nervous and I get the scared a lot. That's normal. I mean, otherwise, yes. I mean, I don't know why not to run it. I really can't. There's probably a ton of psychological reasons, you know, that might come into play, but I don't think we want to go there. I mean, if you're good in front of groups or not good in front of groups, you can actually get pretty good in front of groups because it starts to get fun. But if you absolutely don't want to do it and you hate being in front of, then don't do it, you know?
I want to add something to it. I think you're dead on here. Great point. And I think there's something, one other reason.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't mean you shouldn't ever do boot camps, but it means
right.
maybe you build up to them. I think if you're, especially if you're brand new, but it could even be if you're just used to one thing, if you haven't really mastered one-on-one training, I think that it's good to ease into boot camps and maybe not even do them or at first. And I wouldn't say never do them. I would just say kind of experience level. And here's why. The theory behind the boot camp is that it is, you know, large or small. It's group, large or small group. Doesn't matter with the size of the group, but it's group personal training. And if you have no experience doing personal training, and I've seen this. I've actually hired trainers prematurely into my business and had them jump into teaching a boot camp when they really didn't know squats about squats. You know, they didn't know really anything about form and technique on, you know, they were good cheerleaders. They were good, you know, in a big group, like people liked them, and they were good at, you know, keeping the energy high, but they really didn't know how to modify exercises very well. They didn't know how to, you know, make adjustments on the fly to individuals because everybody's individual. And at the end of the day,
right.
if you can't do those types of things yet, you can learn them. But if you can't do them yet, then what you're really doing is you're watering down your brand from day one. You're saying that, well, I'm not really a personal trainer. I just get everybody together and we do a group and I show everybody how to do push-ups together in a big mass. I think that can be a problem because it can water down your product from day one.
Well, that's a problem from no matter what you're teaching. Because if it's one-on-one or a group, if you can't modify an exercise, you're practically not a trainer. If you can't modify on the fly, you're not a trainer. I don't care if there's one person in front of you or three or 10 or 20. Because that really doesn't really, to me, anyway, it doesn't have much to do with personal training. I mean, it doesn't have much to do with boot camp as much as it has to do with your skill as a personal trainer. If you can't do those things, then you're not, really shouldn't even be doing one-on-one, you know, at that matter. Not that you should be, but you should really try to pick up your skills. I mean, if you don't know what an inchworm is, or if you don't know what a certain exercise is, there's so many resources to find that out. Go find that out. If you don't know what a regression and a progression is, then go learn how to regress and progress. Find it out. There's so many blogs. For instance, even mine has stuff. There's YouTube. There's, you know, there's a whole bunch of things, places you can go to, you know, to learn these things. There's workout programs that include progressions and regressions. But if you don't know those things, I think that's more... You know, that's something to be addressed, whether you're one-on-one or boot camp. I mean, sorry for the strong opinion, but I actually think that, you know, whether you're in front of a group or one person and you don't know what a push-up regression is, yikes, you know?
time to go back to the drawing board, maybe.
Well, yeah, so you don't go blaming it on the person's program. Look at yourself and take a look in the mirror, like, and say, really, if I don't know what an inchworm is, maybe I should look it up. There's Google and YouTube. Maybe I should see what that is. And then go, and half the time you'll probably go, oh, darn, I knew what that was. It just was called something different. You know, sometimes it's just called something different, but, hey, don't go, you know, blaming everything but yourself when you don't know how to modify. Or even, how about take out an exercise? You don't know what it is. You're giving somebody a workout. Well, take it out. You don't know what, you know, some kind of ab workout, ab exercise is. Well, put in a plank. You know, take it out and put in something. Substitute. So you really need to know how to substitute, too, because people will come to you injured, whether you're one-on-one or otherwise, or with old injuries, or bad knee, bad back, bad shoulder. It's top three. I mean, you know, sometimes they're not going to be able to ever get a shoulder replacement. You're not going to have them push-pressing a bar overhead. So, you know, I mean, you're going to have to know those things no matter what situation you're in. So that's my my lecture.
Great. Well, we're just about out of time. So this was awesome, Georgette. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm surprised how I like the relaxed atmosphere of these podcasts because, you know, it's not like I open a book and I'm taking notes prior. I don't even know what we're going to talk about, but, you know, I really like the relaxed atmosphere, and I think the people are liking it, too, from the feedback I'm getting.
Yes, yeah, and while we're at it, why don't I mention, if you haven't found us yet on iTunes, if you maybe came off of the website, the blog, the Fitness Bootcamp Club.com, and also our group, fitnessbootcampinnercircle.com. Please go on to those websites and make sure that you check it out. Get a lot of the free resources. There's an awesome free report available, and the blog is just, you know, chock full of awesome free material. But also go on to iTunes, search for us there, and please leave a review. You can leave a bad review, too. I mean, I'd prefer if it was a positive review. But any kind of review actually helps us get found so more people can find us.
Right.
And more people can, you know, be able to, you know, it'll show up better in search terms. And we really want your questions, whether it's on the blog, iTunes, or the Facebook. You know, we're on Facebook, too. So, you know, get on there and leave a question, leave a comment. We really do want to answer those and talk about those. And if you're a member of the Inner Circle, which I think everybody should be, everybody should immediately go to the fitnessbootcampinnercircle.com, become a member. But if you are a member, then you're going to get free coaching, which is now something that I'm adding to it as well, Georgette, just to let you know. I'm going to give them some extra free service. Yeah, there we go.
Great.
I just said it, so now I got to do it.
Right. Well, it's chock full of information and help one-on-one, too. And we do have some new trainers in there who are nervous and to get off the ground, so we'll be helping them. And I did have a question on pricing, so it was answered in this call, so whoever asked me that.
Yeah, exactly, yes. So, get in there and leave questions and comments. And if you don't have a question, that's great. Just start, you know, make a comment. We want to know what you're thinking, how you're feeling about it, what you need, what you want more of. And any last words, Georgette?
No, I think we had a lot of information come out in this call. I really do. I think it was great. The questions you asked and the direction you took this, really, I do. I think they got a lot. They'll get a lot out of it and maybe even stimulate some more questions.
Excellent. All right, well, you everybody have a terrific week, and we will see you on the other side.
Okay. Thank you. We'll be right back.